Welcome to the pinning ceremony. We're all glad that you could join us for this special occasion. And we're just going to take the time to open up with some scripture and take some time to just praise God together.
All right, I'm going to be reading Psalm 138, 1 through 3, and 7 and 8. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called you, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
I don't like public speaking, but I felt it was time to pay respect to those who helped get me here. It is a great pleasure to stand before my friends, colleagues, faculty, and guests. Today is a day of celebration for our new beginnings and a sadness for the end of our journey together. I want to take this opportunity to thank so many people who got me here to EMU and those who helped me succeed at EMU. They say it takes a village to raise a child. Well, it took a whole lot more than a village to get here. Me being a single mom of three kids, it's quite trying, and I'd like to personally thank all those who gave me the opportunity to change my life. Some people complete college in 4 years, some take five, it took me 10. I transferred here from Blue Ridge Community College in 99 to start my junior year in a nursing program, but due to life circumstances, I had to drop out after finishing that year. For the last 10 years, I have been looking for the time, the opportunity, the money, or the winning lottery ticket to find my way back to EMU. So about 2 years ago, when most of you can sympathize with the downturn in the economy, I found myself unemployed and not much future. I approached Ms. Arlene, who's the head of our nursing department, about re-entering the nursing program. I knew I had no way of paying for it, but I knew if I got in the program, I was going to find a way. About 2 weeks before the fall semester started, I obtained enough educational financial loans for about three-quarters of my tuition, but still lacking a chunk of money to make it back to EMU. And on top of that, I broke my leg in two places 2 weeks before school started. So things were not looking too bright. The next thing I knew, my prayers are being answered. I'd personally like to thank Paul and Dot Gray, my potential future possibly in-laws. Yes, that's a subtle hint. I want them to know how much I appreciate them answering my prayers and being so supportive to me. Secondly, my sister Kathy, who's paid a lot of my bills, kept my kids from starving to death. The nursing faculty, who helped pitch in and obtain my student insurance. Finally, my three great kids, who have gone without a mother for the last 9 months, who have sacrificed so much for me. And finally, my best friend and soulmate, Emery, my rescuer from one crisis after another, my cheerleader at every step of success, and my counselor when I'm hysterically crying, I can't do this anymore! I would not be here on the stage without him to stand behind me and pick me up every time I fall. I'm a very lucky woman to have him in my life. The last semester graduates were considered one of the most competitive classes we had. Well, I believe that this class is one of the most supportive. I'd like to acknowledge some of those who have supported me and motivated me to see this through. Ms. Amber Showalter, Julie Davis, and Megan Alger are three intelligent, opinionated, inspiring ladies whose parents should be very proud of them. I love you all and hold you all in my heart and prayers. Ms. Megan, if you'd come here, please. I nominated Megan Alger for Cords of Distinction, which I think only 10 seniors were nominated, and she was not chosen as one of the honorees, but she is an exemplary nursing student, exemplary Christian, and a role model of human goodness that we all should follow. She has been my mentor, my best friend. She calls me and makes sure I get everything turned in on time. I don't know if she feels sorry for me because I have forgetful memory, but I would like to honor her this time with what I consider my cord of distinction. You'd have a seat now. Okay. I told her I'd get her back. You young ladies will touch the heart of many people in your careers. I am sure that you all will leave your mark on the world. I also hope that you will open your hearts and mine and allow the world to leave their mark on you. Thank you.
To read a journal entry. We're required to do journal entries basically every week for our clinical experiences. So this is probably the last journal entry I did. On the floor today, conflict is rampant. The patient wants to eat biscuits for breakfast instead of grits. However, the dietitian and physician have prescribed a heart-healthy diet, low in sodium, which means no biscuits. His anger is not veiled. He threatens to move off the floor until he realizes that the nutritionist is hospital-wide. While most of his requests are fairly out of our control, he still refuses to compromise. The patient, the nutritionist, and the food service worker are clearly unhappy. I find this fairly frustrating as a nurse who aims to give the best possible care. I guess the best thing I can offer in these types of situations is knowledge, affirmation of his concerns, and respect for whatever decision he makes. At the end of the day, as I review my charting, I find a doctor's note for this patient. It does not read, "Keep pills elevated off pillows," or anything that you would typically find in a doctor's note. Instead, it reads, "Patient may have 3 biscuits for breakfast." I don't think I've ever seen a doctor's note quite like that one. I don't think I might ever again. Later that day, I'm humbled by the experience with a confused end-stage renal disease patient. She has dry, flaking skin, and it's cracking, and she's visibly uncomfortable. We suspect a superinfection after increasing episodes of diarrhea. Unfortunately, the skin breakdown makes her both vulnerable, uncomfortable, and susceptible to more infection. Her lack of mobility, her pain, and weight makes transfers and cleanup excruciating for her as well as for the staff. When I help to transfer her to dialysis, she begins to recite Psalm 23. Reciting it seems to address the pain and fear that she's experiencing at that moment. It seems to comfort her as I help roll her and hold her hand. However, I cannot help but think that this is no quality of life. Rolling to your side in a hospital bed should not have to be fearful or painful. I wonder at this very sick woman, and I cannot help but think how I don't want to be in her place. 1 Corinthians 13 speaks about love, and for some reason, I feel that it fits my experience well this week. Love is patient. Love is patient with clients who demand 3 biscuits for breakfast against medical advice. Love is kind. Love is kind to patients in physical and spiritual distress. It does not envy. It does not boast. Love does not boast about superior situation, status, or health. It is not proud. Love learns to lean in and wipe up bottoms and messes. It is not rude. It is not rude when others are rude to you. It is not self-seeking. Love recognizes that no task and no one are below you. It is not easily angered. Love is not easily angered by the demands or statements of coworkers or families. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not keep a record of how many years a patient has smoked or drank to the detriment of their health. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love rejoices when patients are presented with the truth, with answers, and with value. It always protects. Love always protects the patient with little mobility or the patient who has a habit of crawling out of bed. It always trusts. Love always trusts that at the end of the day, you've done your best. It always hopes, even when no other have hope. It always perseveres, even without all the answers. Love never fails. And now we're going to have a special recognition for our professors. To all the professors, thank you for everything. The guidance, patience, active listening, humor, flexibility, insight, wisdom, role modeling, and the list could go on. Thank you for teaching us the most important thing about nursing, to keep our patients staying alive.
All right, we're having some technical difficulties, so we will improvise. Lori Yoder. Yes, come up here. I'm not going to be able to do this with a straight face, so forgive me. That was an introduction to the award that we are giving Laura, the Queen of Hearts Award. Thank you. Thank you for teaching us about the physiological, spiritual, and emotional aspects of using our hearts to help heal others heal theirs.
Cynthia Venus. Thank you for cradling us as fragile students and nurturing us with your calm spirit and gently reassuring us that we will become excellent nurses one day. So we present you with the Nurturer Award.
Next we have Vi Horst. We give Vi the Mother Goose Award. Thank you for your enthusiasm, your personal stories, and the way you taught us how to care for the little people of the world.
Don Tyson. Thank you for the organization, time, and flexibility that you put into arranging every student for every clinical, as well as creating the master schedule. So we dub you Don the Builder.
Next, we have Laura Esch. Okay, this is Wonder Woman. There's not enough time in this program to talk about how wonderful you are. Thanks for taking care of all of our business and still managing to wear a smile and look cute in the process. We also have a flower arrangement for Laura from our class.
Anne Hirschberger. We decided to title you The Gardener for showing us how to use our brains and our hearts to plant seeds and be the change that we wish to see in the world. So thank you.
Next we have Joe Wallace. Here's a little song I wrote. I want to sing it note for note. Okay, this is the Butterfly Award. Thank you for seeing our potential, reminding us to breathe, and reassuring us that one day we will get out of the cocoon and fly.
And next we have Arlene Wiens. Thank you for guiding us in the final steps of becoming professional nurses and caring nurses, and for telling us exactly how it is. So you earned the Veracity Award.
And we have, thank you.
You'll still be surprised.
Next, we have Melody Cash. That's implying that Melody is tough, by the way. Okay, we give Melody the CINHAL Award, which, for those of you who are not familiar, that's a database that you search for research articles on. So, we entered the keywords professor and patience, hard work, and long hours of reading boring research papers, and we only got one hit, Melody Cash. We also want to congratulate her on her dissertation, so everyone can applaud. Yeah.
And Karen Madison, I don't believe is here with us today, but we still want to recognize her. Karen has earned the award of the empathizer. Thank you for teaching and modeling empathy and therapeutic techniques. We all now think twice before we speak and give false forms of reassurance. Thank you for sharing your personal stories and genuine love for your students.
Next, we have Tammy Kaiser. We give Tammy the Outreach Award. Thank you for your enthusiasm and guidance in preparing us as community leaders. We all aspire to follow your example in compassionate community care.
And next we have Kathy Rittenhouse. Kathy, we present you with the Goddess Award. Oh, Kathy, let us count the ways that you astound us. Thank you for your leadership and patience in clinicals and in the classroom. You demonstrate poise while striving for excellence in all that you do.
Next, we have Nancy Puffenbarger. This is Little Miss Sunshine, and she's smiling now. Thank you for your kindness, your bubbly spirit and laugh, and for sharing all of your cat stories to add some humor to our days, especially those of us who are cat lovers. Thank you.
And at this time, we'd also like to recognize Bird McLean, who is not with us today, but she is a member of our graduating class of 2010. So we just wanted to recognize her, even though her name isn't on the program, but she has worked just as hard as the rest of us. All right. And now I would like to invite up Kathy to share a word with us.
First of all, congratulations. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. I don't know what more I have to offer that hasn't already been said, but thank you also for the privilege of teaching all of you. Parents, families, loved ones, friends of these women, thank you for your encouragement and your support of them. Christopher Reeve said, "So many of our dreams at first seem impossible, then they seem improbable, and then when we summon the will, they soon become inevitable." I know that when you first started the nursing program in level one, there were many days you probably thought you'd never make it through. All the new information to learn, the tests to take, seemed overwhelming. Then in level two, you faced late nights studying for adult health tests, increasing complexity and demands in clinical, and working with the family. It was hard to see the end in sight. Finally, level three, working with groups, trying to put all the pieces together, but it wasn't until you completed your capstone project and passed oral finals that you realized you made it. John Adams said that there are two types of education. One should teach us how to make a living, and the other how to live. Here at EMU, I believe that you have gotten both types of education. Your success in the nursing program has prepared you well to be a nurse and earn a living. Of that I have no doubt. I was in your position 28 years ago. I'd like to focus on the second part of the quote, teaching you how to live. I believe that EMU has prepared you equally well in this regard. You're prepared to live exceptionally. Webster's Dictionary defines the word exceptional as forming an exception, better than average, and deviating from the norm. The words on the banner to my right, from Micah 6:8, to do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with God, are evidence of the focus to teach you to live exceptionally. I challenge you today, as you leave EMU, to live exceptionally. In a world full of doubt, be exceptional, walk in faith. In a world that values the temporary, be exceptional, seek the eternal. In a world that wants to get ahead, be exceptional, serve. In a world that is unfair and full of prejudice, be exceptional, work for justice. In a world full of conflict, be exceptional, practice peace. In a world that says, whatever, be exceptional, take a stand. In a world that accepts shades of truth, be exceptional, be honest. In a world that settles for mediocrity, be exceptional, strive to do your best. In a world that regards the superficial, be exceptional, look deeper. In a world that likes quick and easy, be exceptional, persevere. In a world that is quick to judge, be exceptional, show mercy. In a world that grown cold, be exceptional, be compassionate. Some days may be easy, some days will be hard. Keep your goals in mind. And in the words of Dr. Seuss, today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. So be your name Buxbaum or Bixby or Bray, or Mordecai, Allie, Von Allen, O'Shea, you're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting. So get on your way. God bless you all.
It's now time to recognize each of the graduates. I will call their name, and their significant other or loved one will come and present them with a token of recognition. Cameron Lee Aguilar. She is being pinned by her husband, Alfredo.
Thank you.
Libby Ann Aldous. Libby is being pinned by her parents, Richard and Karen Aldous, who have given support and encouragement throughout the last 2 years. Megan Joy Alger. Megan is receiving a stethoscope by her parents, Harvey and Linda Alger, because of their love, prayers, support, and encouragement throughout her life. Alice Marie Baker. Alice is being pinned by her significant other, Emery Fansler, and her daughter, Lee Ellen Wine, who have picked her up off the kitchen floor and kept her going when she felt like she could not do it, literally. Yumi Cho. Yumi is receiving a pair of earrings from her mother. Kelly Elizabeth Simmons Brewer. Kelly is being pinned by her grandmother, Barbara Vaught, because she has provided so much encouragement and support throughout nursing school. Barbara has exemplified selfless and faithful care for Kelly, her family, and her grandfather, Glenn, who passed away with ALS in 2008. Julie R. Davis. Julie is being pinned by her father, Wesley Davis. Julie's parents have been a source of continuous encouragement and strength. Their example of unconditional love and service has served as a pillar and foundation for Julie's nursing practice. She is eternally grateful for them. Mary Teresa Dunn. Mary is receiving a stethoscope from her parents, Peter and Leanna Dunn, because of their never-ending support over these past 4 years and throughout her life. Heidi Ann Hirschberger. Heidi is receiving a stethoscope by her fiancé, Chris Esch, because of his love and support these 4 years of nursing at EMU. Stephanie Dawn Kanagi. Stephanie is being pinned by her mother, Pam Kanagi, for being her inspiration and always encouraging her to keep going. Also for always being there and answering her many questions. Tamara Dawn Meyer. Tamara is being pinned by her parents, Steve and Rachel Meyer, because they have supported her, prayed for her, and have been there for her throughout nursing school, and she couldn't have done it without them. Pratiksha Patak is being pinned by her dad. Rachel Ropp. Rachel's being pinned by her parents, Leon and Danae Ropp, because of their support, encouragement, and friendship. Mary E. Shank. Mary is being pinned by her parents, Sheldon and Lois Shank, because of their constant encouragement and understanding. Megan Sharps. Megan is being pinned by her parents, Robert and Bonnie Sharps, for their support, encouragement, and prayers that helped her throughout the nursing program. Amber Louise Showalter. Amber is receiving flowers from her parents, James and Carol Showalter. Mariah Lynn Steiner. Mariah is receiving a necklace from her parents, Jay and Val Haver, because of their continued support, encouragement, and love throughout the years. Danielle Dare Teeberger. Danielle is being pinned by her dad. Both of her parents have been so supportive throughout it all. Without them, she would not have been able to afford or attend nursing school. Hannah Token. Hannah is being pinned by her dad, Gazahin Token. Michelle Sinclair Yoder. Michelle is being pinned by her mother, Jennifer, and receiving a stethoscope from her dad, Doug. She wants to thank them for supporting her and for all the encouragement throughout the years. She wants to thank her mom for teaching her and instilling a passion for learning. They have been a blessing to her. I think they deserve a big standing round of applause, don't you?
As you move from here to the rest of the weekend, and as you move from this part of your life to the next part of your life, I'd like to leave with you a poem. Remember, family class. This poem is by Vanita Mason, who some of you met in suffering class. She's a nurse poet who has a good sense of what life is like as a nurse. You have seen suffering. For some of you, some of your class, personal, and in many of your patients. And I think her words speak to this aspect of nursing, both for you as individuals and for you as nurses. It's entitled Nurses. A baby is born. Its first faint cry is drowned in mother's tears, both for what is and what should be. Around them, nurses set about their healing chores. A breast is gone, and in its place, a gash across the very heart of womanhood still bleeds in tiny kills. Unabashed, a nurse keeps vigil, willing loss to good. A collapsed beam left him less a man. He rattles bed rails, pelts the air with curses. A nurse confronts him eye to eye and hand to trembling hand. I want to ask these nurses, do you face the dark because you've come to trust the light? Or do you face the dark because you've come to terms with night? Let's pray together. O God of joy, just as the psalmist, we give thanks with our whole heart for your steadfast love and faithfulness to these women, now graduate nurses, for the strength to go on when there seemed no resources to do so, for sacred encounters with patients, peers, faculty, and staff, for gifts of knowledge and wisdom and creativity, for tasks completed, for their trust in you and commitment to do the right, we give thanks. O healing God, empower these women as healers. Send them into the world with skill to go about their healing chores. Gift them with your grace to listen and respond, to be present. O guiding God, fulfill your purpose in them. We believe the psalmist's word that you will lead. You will not forsake the work of your hands. We pray that you will guide toward jobs and ministries. We pray, of course, for the drive to study for and success on the licensure exam. O sustaining God, grant them the courage to live sacrificial lives, dedicated to unending service, even as Christ came to serve, not to be served. Protect them from the cynicism and jadedness born of fatigue and dehumanizing systems. Grant them the boldness to name injustices and work toward healing systems in this land and beyond. But let them never forget the healing mystery of a good bath and foot rub. Thank you for what they brought to EMU, to the Harrisonburg community, to nursing faculty and staff. We are grateful. In Christ's name we pray with joy. Amen.